Welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby back again after a victorious week one for our beloved Philadelphia Eagles. We are back to preview game number two, and it's a big one coming up. We have got the Minnesota Vikings at the Link on Monday Night Football. Big game. Big game. Especially after everything that transpired in week one.
Absolutely, man. Is there any bigger game than Monday Night Football? The whole nation is watching. Pikula just got off of work, working all day. And they know that game is coming on that night, man. Prime time. Long tradition, long NFL tradition, man. Eagles Vikings. It's a is this the rematch of the NFC Championship game? I know it's a bit old. I'm still hanging on. At least I'm not a Cowboys fan talking about the 90s, but I'm still hanging on to my Super Bowl here. But I think this is the same, different team, way different team. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited about the outcome, man. Eagles are flying high. We shall see.
Well, you know what? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, as after the week one defensive performance, I'm a little bit nervous about what's going to happen going into this one. Of course, you can't not be, because everybody has the press conferences, and everybody came out and talked about this and that. I love what Jalen Hurts had to say because they asked him about the defense. Everybody wants to talk about the defense right now and their collapse against Detroit. And Jalen said that it isn't the defense. It's all of us. And we all have to be better. And that's the right words. That's what you got to say. Nick Sirianni, when asked about the defense, said, hey, there's things that we got to improve, but Detroit has a really good offensive line. They've got great receivers. He said all the right things. But my problem is what Gannon had to say. And it's what he says every time he falls on his face. He doesn't say that the fault lies with him and he didn't put the players to in the right place to make plays. Because that's the truth. The truth is the players weren't in the right places to make plays, and that's on the defensive coordinator. Instead, he talked a lot about execution. And that sounds a lot like Jim Schwartz to me. That sounds a lot like, we have the right scheme. We're just not executing it right. No. You have got great playmakers. You have no excuses. So unless these guys are really that rusty and they're not playing his scheme and that he's watching these guys and they're not in the right spots, then maybe we'll see an improvement. But my problem is to me, it sounds like the guy just doesn't want to admit his scheme is trash.
Right.
Everybody knows it but him.
Everybody knows it. But him with Gannon, man, watching that first game against the Lions, it was like same soup, just reheated. It's going to taste the same. It looked the same. It had the same feeling to it and had the same outcome. No matter what the offense is doing, the defense is going to just let you back in the game. And they're just constantly on their heels, man, So Gannon needs to step up, man. Something has to change. I want to see something different. And when we mainly, like we talked about before, is getting pressure with that front four. We lose Barnett now, I know, I'm sure we'll have a slide for, get into it, but, just jump right into it, man. Barnett, this is a big injury here, ACL, he's out for the season. We were already not sure if we wanted to bring Barnett back this year because of the season that he had last year, very lackadaisical, a lot of costly penalties. Everybody gets penalties, but a lot of times it's when they happen is a big deal. And losing another player off that front four that's used to getting pressure for, at least trying to help us out, man, because that's where I think that our biggest, we're in that the most is getting pressure with the front four. So losing Barnett, I don't even know who really steps up. What is it? Maybe Sweat steps up in his position. Yep. But it's like, man, you expected Sweat to already be a little bit ahead of him. So how big of a loss do you think this is with losing Barnett?
Well, I'll be 100% honest and blunt.
Keep it 100.
Yeah, I was at the game and saw someone go down. Couldn't tell from where I was at who it was, but it looked to be in the vicinity of Barnett. And the guy I was with was like, oh, there's somebody hurt. And I was like, man, I hope it ain't too bad. I said, but it looks like it's the right defensive end. That's probably Barnett. So if that's the case, I'm not worried. We'll be all right. And then they picked him up, and he walked off on his own power. So I was like, well, he's all right. I said, but if anybody's going to go down on that defensive line, I've literally said that, then let it be Barnett. And it's not that he doesn't have talent. It's just that he has underperformed since we drafted him. And that right. cannot be denied. And the problem is underperforming is one thing. But like you said, the penalties, you know, it wasn't too long ago where Nick Sirianni, when Barnett got a penalty on the sideline, said, it's always him. That was like the words Ooh. Heard by everyone last season. When he got,
it was
always him when we got these bad penalties. So maybe things will turn out a little bit better. I mean, yes, it's a loss, but it could have been much, much worse. Like right. losing Davis, losing Cox, losing Hargrave, losing right. Sweat even. I think Sweat will perform better. I think Barnett's only starting because Gannon just doesn't really know who belongs in what spot. I think he really okay. is clueless. But it did lead to an interesting signing because the Eagles turned around and signed defensive end Janarius Robinson off of the Vikings practice squad, and he is on the active roster, so he will back up Sweat. This is a guy who was drafted by the Vikings last year, and I think he was a fourth-round pick. I'm not 100%. Don't quote me on that.
It says it right there. Robinson was the fourth-round
pick. Okay, there you go. So their fourth-round pick by Minnesota in 2021. He has made he was on the practice squad, so they were keeping him around. So that says a little bit about his ability, but there's a lot of players on Minnesota that might have kept him from that squad. So two right. things. It's going to help replace Barnett, number one, and, you know, not exactly, but enough to where we've got depth, and we're going to get a little bit of insight into those Vikings because that's what you do on game day. You got to bring in the other team's opposing player, learn a little bit about their schemes. They got Rager on the other side. I'm sure he's not, you know, quiet right now. I'm sure he's mm-hmm. telling them everything that they want to know, you know, singing like a bird. So I think that Janarius Robinson will help us in that respect, at least, even if he doesn't see the field much. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, man. It's a nice little, I don't really know that much about it. Like, I watched a little bit of tape on it when I seen it. We picked him up, and a lot of the Eagles fans loved it. They said, look at Howie in his bag again, you know, doing his thing, picking up those players that nobody's really paying attention to, and they can end up being, I mean, fourth-round draft pick is still a really good player. Yeah. He's a really good player. Like, we understand when we drafted Barnett, I think the problem with Barnett is that we crowned him the next Reggie White, and that's impossible shoes to fill in Philadelphia or anywhere else, but especially Philadelphia, especially Philadelphia. So anyway, that is, hey, welcome to the Philadelphia Eagles. And, I hope you do well about it, man. Just want to get into like some of my like main concerns about this game. Right. All so right. We talked about the defense, and I feel like at this point, that's my biggest focus.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, when I look at the numbers, like let's just say week one, bringing in the stats, you know, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, you know, Jalen had more yards than Kirk Cousins overall. We know Jalen's dual threat, but overall he had more yards than Cousins, which is good, which is, but Cousins has the two touchdowns, but we know Jalen still threw the ball well. And we mentioned Goddard getting down to the one a couple times and AJ Brown getting it down to the 4 yard line. But we know who his number one target is. That's who he threw both of his touchdowns to last week. And that is Justin Jefferson. I just cannot wait. I cannot wait to see this matchup between Justin Jefferson and Slay. Now, I'll tell you what, Slay can't cover the ball like he did against Chark on that deep ball, giving up that touchdown. Buddy, you got to make a play on the ball. You can't – receiver can't catch the ball and you don't make a play on it at all. You lost it at some point. Even though you look back, I don't know if you remember that play, that you know, of course you remember, it was a touchdown, but the Chark catch – you have Slay looking up. He sees the ball, but he doesn't really even make a play on it or responds or anything. You do that against Justin Jefferson, he's going to be doing the gritty all day long, man. Run game, we match up with them well. You know, Cook had 20 carries, 90 yards last week. Okay, there you go, all right there. 20 carries. You know, these are all things that the Eagles did offensively as well, too. Eagles had over 400 yards, you know, on offense. So I'm concerned with Justin Jefferson. You have Dalvin Cook, who is a monster. I mean, he has to be accounted for, which brings me to our defense. Again, can we stop these guys? Can we get pressure on Kirk Cousins in that front four? You know, do the Vikings have good enough line as Detroit? We don't really know what we're going up against because the season is still so young. But I know for sure we got to keep pressure on Kirk Cousins. We can't keep those passes down the field, Justin Jefferson running down the field. You still have Adam Thielen, you know what I'm saying, who is still a really good receiver last time that I checked. But I think offensively coming into this week, you know, Kirk Cousins threw for 277 and two touchdowns. Jalen threw for 243. But we know how the touchdowns came about with the Eagles with four touchdowns. So what are your concerns, man, coming into this matchup this week?
Well, like you say, Cousins is a much different quarterback than Jared Goff. That's one concern. So knowing that we're going to have to, if we face him with the scheme that we've got, I don't see playing a deep zone. That plays right into Kirk Cousins' hands. I mean, it really does. If we don't play a little bit of man to try to put him off balance or just disguise the zone defense, Kirk Cousins will have his way. I mean, that's what we've seen it with quarterbacks, how every single quarterback, no matter how good they were or not last year, had career days against the Eagles. So if you look at his stats, 277, he had a good game, a 118 QBR and he, you know, 184 of those 277 to Justin Jefferson. So that tells you right off the bat, maybe the Eagles should be putting a couple guys on Justin Jefferson. But again, we've watched Gannon. I don't see him double covering everybody because he just plays his own. So the problem is you're going to find Justin Jefferson, if Gannon stays to being true Gannon, he's going to play everybody 10 yards off the ball, 5 to 10, and it's going to be single coverage because there isn't. It's going to be very little man. So Justin Jefferson's going to have wide open holes in the zone to be able to find things. So I think, you know, you look at the rest of the receivers from last week, the only other wide receiver to do anything was Thielen. That was only 36 yards. So then you got Cook, and then you got all these other guys, these other runs in there. Cook had 18 yards on three receptions. So Justin Jefferson was the bulk of the offense. So if I'm Gannon and I'm like, if I'm going, why aren't we going in with maybe Maddox and Slay on this guy? You know, maybe putting a slot corner as a double team on this guy, or a safety, or bringing Chauncey Gardner down, who is a former corner, and letting him play a little bit offset. But I don't think Gannon's going to do that. So that's my biggest concern. And again, another big concern when it comes to their offense is the way that Cook ran. He ran for 90 yards against the Packers. But the thing is that and he had a 4.6 yards per carry. But if you look at Madison, who had eight rushes for 36 yards, he had a 4.5 yard per carry average as well. Now, that could speak to the fact that maybe the Packers' run defense isn't that great. That could be if Madison is pulling 4.5 yards a carry as well. But what my concern is that we didn't stop the run hardly at all. So if the Packers are giving up that much, how much are we going to give up? And one of the things that came up really big, and we mentioned it on our review of the game, was that Jordan Davis, the rookie who comes in, he only played, I think it was a little bit under 30% of the snaps. And when he was on the field, if you look at the stat here in this graphic, the Eagles allowed 2.9 yards per carry when Jordan Davis was on the field. They allowed 10 yards per carry when he was off the field. And yet Gannon only played him for nearly 30% of the snaps. I'm not saying he has to be out there 70% of the snaps, but it's clear who was doing the work, and we all saw it, but yet Gannon chose to keep him on the sidelines. And that's the main thing, is that personnel with Gannon and then putting him in the right spots. So if we're both the run and the pass defense are my biggest concerns in this game, it's clearly that. I'm concerned a little bit about the offense against the Packers or against the Vikings defense, but really it just comes down to that being able to stop Minnesota. Gannon do it? And my biggest thing is I don't think he's shown me anything now. I think I've seen enough of Gannon, because we had a couple of games last year where he did blitz, like the Lions game where they beat him 44-9 or whatever it was. He blitzed a lot last year. He didn't show them any respect, and we dominated. But that was the anomaly. That was not the norm with Gannon. The norm with Gannon was like the games against the Tampa Bay where he just sat back and let Brady pick us apart and did absolutely nothing. And then we go into the playoff game against the same team and do the same thing over again and let Brady have his way with it. That's the normal under Gannon. So my fear is that, not that the players can't stop the Vikings. I think we can. I think everybody on the Eagles defense can stop Cook. I think they can double team and stop Jefferson. You put any other defensive coordinator out there just about in this league, and they probably get the job done. So part of me is like, let's let Gannon fail. Let's let him do it, because I just got another graphic here real quick. This happened during preseason. Vic Fangio was at Eagles practices a lot this summer. Talking, and there's pictures of him with Sirianni. He's just consulting. Consulting. And I'm not saying that I want Vic Fangio and only Vic Fangio. I want anybody. Yeah. So the fact that this guy's hanging around and that they're bringing him in to just at least to look at the defense and consult with Sirianni, that tells you that there's an issue. That they don't bring Vic Fangio in just for a social call.
Right. And we got, you know, Vic was the coach of the Broncos just last year. So this guy was a defensive-minded guy. It took him a very long time to get his head coaching spot, but when he had it with Denver. Really didn't have good quarterback play with Locke in there, but what he was always known for was his defense, Vic Fangio. I did see a lot of reports this week on Vic Fangio just saying, a little nudge, why don't you get him in? Why don't you get him in there? And you know what? I wouldn't mind. I think at this point, I almost feel like we know what we're going to get from Gannon. So I don't see why we shouldn't move on. But this also could be a Nick Sirianni thing where he's like, you're not replacing my staff. This is my staff. I brought these guys in. These are my guys. I made them promises as well, too. You know, when you put a staff together, you know, head coach has an obligation to them as well, too, to at least let me try to fix it. Week one, you know, for the most part of that Lions game last week, we held it down. It was when we were up 17 points going into the fourth quarter where it seemed like everything fell apart. Now, it could be two things. Maybe the offense was staying on the field so long and playing well enough and getting those four touchdowns that it just kept our defense on the side more. And that was our saving grace, and we didn't know it. And then, you know, they were just so rested up that by the time they got on the field, they were playing well. But as soon as the Eagles weren't scoring, as soon as we had a drive where we didn't score, or maybe back-to-back drives, all of a sudden you see the defense just start to reel. They had the hands on their hips. Everybody was tired in that fourth quarter. It's from lack of reps, you know. So Vic Fangio, I don't really know what his style is. You know, we walked in there and beat a Denver Broncos team last year with you know, on a Fangio's defense. So I don't know what that says, but I do know he has made his hay in the NFL, being a defensive coordinator. And in Philly is one of those teams. There's certain teams you can go to and you can have some time. Philly is just not one of those areas where you can have your time. There's going to be high turnover. You know, Eagles fans demand a lot from their team. And they demand a lot from their team, man. For a team with only one Super Bowl, our standard is still golden. You know, our standard is high. You know, our standard is as high as like Pittsburgh or the Patriots or anything like that. It's no different. You know, you meet that Patriot fan, you meet that Pittsburgh fan, they throw the rings in the face, but they also have a culture up there, and the Eagles do as well, too. So I'm not sure how this goes, but we need more pressure on our line. I still don't even know what the Eagles' identity is, even on defense or on offense. Remember, the first play of the game last week, run to Jalen Hurts, and Jalen ends up with 17 runs. And then we talked about last year how that's not a really a good thing. This is supposed to be your franchise quarterback. He can't take 20-plus hits a game, yada, yada, yada. I know three of those were kneel downs. But still, But still, man, we have to take care of our quarterback. And I'm just really looking to see if Sirianni, I'm trying to see what type of coach we have in Sirianni still. Mm-hmm. I think the jury's still out on every single person that's currently with the Eagles organization right now. I think the jury is out on all of them. I don't think anybody is, I don't think anybody's job is safe. You know, I think Sirianni could be, I don't even want to go there. I'm going to wait to the finish, the season to finish. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But I'm just talking about Eagle culture and how fast things can change.
Right. Oh, yeah.
No matter what.
Exactly.
Eagles, yeah. Even though we haven't won a lot of championships, we were a perennial playoff team. Perennial playoff team. Yep. So that is the standard in Philly, at least perennial playoff. And last year, Sirianni did that. He made the playoffs. Cool. That's the first thing we want from our coaches. Can you make the playoffs? Okay, check. Now it's, can you win close games? We didn't beat any teams over .500 with a winning record last year. We still haven't beaten a team under Nick Sirianni that has a winning record.
Right.
Little fun fact. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That finished above .500 when the season was over.
Right.
So there are still some things out on him. Can we win a close game defensively with Jonathan Gannon?
Yeah.
You know, can we win a 10-3 game? I mean, yeah, a lot of teams, sometimes you will have to go out there and win a 10-3 game, a 13-3 game, a 20-7 game. Can we win that? I don't know if we can win those type of games right now based off of how the defense is set up and an offense that's still developing, is still going through it, still run heavy. If you're run heavy, that means you have the ball more. Guys are taking more shots. So just looking for cohesion on that, man. So those are just like my overall thing. We still haven't beat a team with a winning record. Also, you know, did you see, you know, a lot of replays and previews on like the Eagles last week? Did you see that one play where the entire on offense, where the entire line went to go run block, and Jalen was back there passing the ball? Did you see that play that I'm talking about? Yeah, it's like a lot of people kept showing it. Like, why are they run blocking on a pass play?
Yeah,
it's so many little things that when you and when I watched that tape, man, I watched, you know, one of these guys on there. I think his name is Lord Brunson. Shout out to him, man. I watched his stuff. He broke down like almost every defensive snap. Offensive snap. Jalen didn't have the time that people think he should have. They shaded the middle, because when you blitz, we know what are the things when you blitz, what are teams looking to do? They're looking to throw a quick pass, probably a slant. But what the Detroit Lions did well is that they, even when they blitz, they shade the middle of the field, because we know you're going to a slant. That's why I got on Devontae Smith about taking so long to get out of his breaks to get to the sideline. He's running a zag route, you know, cut in, then get to the sideline. He's running that route, but it's so slow and they're under pressure. Man, if you watch that tape, man, there's a lot of cats out there that put out a lot of tape on just the line not communicating well. You mentioned it as well, too, not having that bat that can pick up a blitz. That's a big problem for us, man. Mm-hmm. That's a big problem for us, man. So I think if we, you know, week two, we're still seeing what's going on. Still a lot of football left to be played this season. Riding with my birds, man. I think we can do it. I think that's why the stress is kind of so high. Because, like, you know, we can do it. We have the players. Right. We have the names. But the results have to come with it, man. But we still want to know. But we know what this Viking offense can do. And we're worrying for a reason, you know, with some of these concerns, man. And we'll see if they do get Jordan Davis back in there. What does that say for Gannon if, with those stats you showed, with the averaging 2.9 yards a carry and 10 when he's not in, what if he still doesn't get more reps? What are we doing? What are adjustments are we making? So, yeah, man, just, you know.
Yeah, we talked about it with, like, Kazir White and Hassan Reddick not playing their strengths. You know, Kazir has been amazing for us. You know, just in one game, he's been all over the field. And he showed his strength in preseason. We have not yet seen the best of Hassan Reddick yet, whether in preseason or in the Lions game. But I think that's because they've got him dropped back in coverage. Like, that's where Gannon wants his linebackers. That's not the strength of this defense. And then they pulled him a lot for nickel defenses when they didn't need to. And Gannon said one of the things he really annoyed me was like, well, we expected them to throw more, so we had a lot of packages out there to defend the pass in certain situations, mm-hmm. and then they went to the run. Well, that's your fault. That's because, you know, football is a game of strategy, and you're losing that battle when you're saying you had the wrong package out there most of the time. That tells me that you're having a problem with what defensive packages should be on the field in certain situations. And instead of being knowledgeable about it or preparing your defense, you're just going with whatever works. You think whatever works on paper. Gannon, again, we could devote hours to how bad this guy coaches defense, and we don't deserve that as Eagles fans. I know that he's earned his place out there, and none of us Eagles fans are a coach in the NFL, but it's pretty bad when the novice, the most extreme novice, can spot what a professional NFL coach is doing wrong. And it's not just a fan that's yelling and spouting like typical Eagle fans, oh, the world's coming to an end. This is legit concerns. So it's something that again, with the Vikings, if he gives up 30 points again, then he's got to be considered to be on the hot seat by midseason. And somebody come in to replace him. Same thing with Sirianni. You bring it up. It's a great point. Sirianni, does he have command of this offense, or is Jalen Hurts just winging it enough to score a lot of points? So if they keep scoring 28 to 30 points, Sirianni's not in any danger of losing his job yet, as long as they're doing that and winning games. But it's definitely a concern, like you said. I think one of the things that we need to see in this game is somebody other than A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert catching passes. We need to see more out of Quez and Devontae and Pascal. We need to see what they got. We need to see Hurts spread the ball around, because I got a graphic here that I absolutely found this week that I absolutely love. It's Jalen Hurts. He's got A.J. Brown holding him, cradle him, which is a dog. And then you see the cat in the background with an Eagles hat on, Devontae Smith, getting no love from the owner. And that's exactly what this is. We've got to see. Mm-hmm. We got to see more cohesiveness on this team. Not a lot of stats to look at. Yeah, we looked at the Viking stats. We looked at ours. Those will get, we'll be able to break those down, because like you said, we don't know a lot about this team yet. The identity's not there. We've had one game. It was a nail biter, high scoring on both sides, and we need a little bit more. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Monday night, I'm glad it's on a Monday night, because I can kind of enjoy week two. I'm going to be stressing thinking about Monday night, but I can kind of enjoy the games when the Eagles aren't playing that day, or when they're playing on Sunday night. Because if they play 1 o'clock and lose, then the whole week's ruined for me. I don't even get to enjoy the other games because I don't care at that point. Eagles lost and the week is over for me. Right. But anyway, speaking of losing, we want to turn our attention to the rest of the episode to the NFC East. We've got to talk about what's going on in the NFC East real quick, because if the Eagles win this game, then they're in the catbird seat for the NFC. If you look at their schedule, we did a schedule breakdown weeks ago. Mm-hmm. With Dak Prescott getting injured, it has changed the scope of the NFC East right now, to the point where even if the Eagles lose this game, if you look at the rest of the Eagles schedule, considering what we saw on week one, especially, because now even the Titans game on our schedule doesn't look that daunting. We got the Colts tying with the Texans. That doesn't even look that hard. So even if we lose to the Vikings, this team has an excellent opportunity to win a lot of games before Dak comes back, and then even beyond. So that brings us to my favorite segment. I love playing around with this, and that is Hell to the No this week. And the meme is the picture is a couple of Texas's or Dallas's finest, and they've got a man holding him on each side of his arm as they're holding him in place Texas Stadium. And the caption is, disgusting scene in Dallas as security force Dallas Cowboys fans to stay and watch the game to the end.
That's abuse. That is abuse. That is abuse, man. It is. The whole city of Dallas.
I tell you what, watch that game against Tampa Bay, and even before Dak went out, and granted, it's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's run us. You know, they got a good defense. They got Brady on offense, but it showed that Dallas had the number one offense in the league last year, and it just shows what losing Amari Cooper and Lyle Collins does to you as far as those pieces on offense.
Yeah, Tyron Smith.
Yeah, and so now they're trying to fill that hole by bringing Peters in, and their line is not the same. They weren't running the ball with authority. Zeke and Pollard were both absent. CD Lamb, I mean, it was basically nothing that they had going on offense. So, yeah, I do want to say this, and this is a hot take. I think that it's one game too, just like the Eagles. So even though I want to make fun, and there's tons of memes we can throw out of there, I saw another meme that I almost used where it showed Zeke sitting there and he said, it isn't NFL regular season until Cowboys lose in primetime. And that's true.
Yeah.
And we can go.
That's a good point. It does kind of make the whole league kind of be like, ah, all right, now we can start playing.
You know what the thing is with the media? At least we can now stop listening to them. Talk about right. How the Cowboys are going to run things and goes. They say it every year until they start to falter. And if the Cowboys have a winning season, that's all we hear is all about how great they are. So, but I want to say this. I don't think they're done just yet. Everybody's saying that it's over. And I don't want to be the guy that proclaims it's over, because that can come to bite you. Because nothing can rally a team more when they're a decent team. And the Cowboys still are a decent team. And everybody's telling them they got no shot. Cooper Rush could come in there and play well. There's rumors that they may go out and try to sign Nick Foles, which really? Would be a huge fit there to bring Nick into Dallas with their offense. Mm-hmm. It could work. And wouldn't that suck if Nick goes into Dallas and is, you know, and hurts the Eagles? So I don't want to get on their case too much. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Not enjoy that Dak is hurt. I don't wish injuries on anyone.
I understand.
We've been there with our quarterback. But I am going to enjoy that the Eagles right now have an opportunity to make the most of this. One other thing about that game, and I wanted to bring this up before we left, that this is a meme with Russell Wilson when he came back to Seattle and got booed mercilessly by the Seattle fans. That really blew me away.
100%.
And who else got booed after he hurt his hand was Dak Prescott during that performance against Dallas. Booed 100%. Mercilessly, and the guy's hurt.
Right.
And the Cowboys fans are letting him have it. Now, I've showed both of those for this reason. I don't ever, 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 ever want to hear anybody ragging on Philadelphia fans ever again after what I saw this weekend. Or the way that Seattle treated Russ and the way that Dallas treated Dak. You guys have no legs to stand on where that is concerned. You have been giving us crap about Santa Claus, which happened in the freaking 60s, for crying out loud, for the entire time I've been an Eagles fan. That happened before I was even born and way before you were born. And yet we still take credit for it like we did it.
Right.
And we've booed a lot of teams that have come into Philly, but that's every team. We have actually embraced a lot of players when they've come back to Philly. McNabb came back to Philly. We stand on our feet and cheer for him. Then we can boo against him.
Right.
What they did to Russ, what Seattle did to Russ, the only reason they were a winning team in this entire century is because of Russell Wilson. And you treat him like that?
I was surprised by the, I watched the game closely and, had a little bet on, had a little parlay on. And I had Russ to throw over 250, Judy to have over 50 yards, and the Broncos to win. And only one thing didn't happen, and that was the Broncos winning. But the most surprising thing is when Russell Wilson, I thought they were going to build a statue of Russell Wilson, and he is synonymous with Seattle Seahawks football. He is synonymous. You know how Sean Alexander used to be, you know, kind of very loosely, but like that's the person you remember from Seattle.
And Marshawn, you know, was
And then you have this era, the Legion of Boom era. And that offense with Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson really holding it down. And that probably would have been the most that is probably the most surprising thing. Not all the spreads getting busted and underdogs winning. The most surprising thing of this weekend, one thing if you'd have asked me, I never anticipated Russell Wilson getting booed in Seattle.
Badly.
He was so hurt by it. You can tell. He was like, what? I think that really affected his game a little bit. I really do. I think his nerves were high because he played really bad. They had three fumbles at the goal line. Mm-hmm. So I just could not believe that.
That was a game too. That if Denver takes a field goal at one of those opportunities, instead of going for it on fourth down, they don't even lose that game. We got to go for it on every fourth down.
The coach is a Muppet. The Broncos coach is an absolute Muppet.
They're going to
struggle. I was there watching the press conference, and my wife was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
He sounded like he needed to take a breath. And if you notice, Scott Van Pelt cut away from him. It's like he was just like, he was just in over his head. I won't say in over his head. I'm sure he's done a lot to get to where he's at.
Right.
But he looked overwhelmed as a leader with that result.
Yeah.
He was just he was like incoherent almost. Right. He could not believe that he went up to Seattle and lost that game. And I cannot believe Russ got bit. But I think the Broncos are going to be all right this year, man. Gino had a good couple plays, those scripted plays and stuff like that. But overall, I think the Broncos would be fine.
I think the new Seattle defensive coordinator, I don't remember his name, but he had a masterful game at home. Used the team with what he's got on that defense to do high pressure, you know, risking it for the biscuit by taking a chance and being aggressive. Russ could not settle down. And that's a rare thing. Because if one thing we know about Russell Wilson is you put a little bit of pressure on him, he rolls out, he'll run around and make plays. And he did to an extent. But they contained him more than a lot of teams I've seen in the past. Now, maybe it's because they have familiarity. But this is a new defensive scheme. And it's true.
Getting older, man. Remember, he had a long run in Seattle. He's taking a lot of hits, you know. Remember a few times he counted for 90% of that offense. That's how much he was running around. We're used to that spin move, that Russell spin to the left and firing it off the right, you know, and he did not have it at all. I wonder if he was just still in shock at the level of disrespect he received in Seattle. I would be dumbfounded. I'm thinking I'm going to come out to a bunch of cheers. People have been cheered for way less than what he's done for Seattle. We're talking about a good citizen in that city, community involvement, the hospital work.
I know. It's ridiculous. It is. So
you represent that organization so well. If you're going to have a face of organization, Russell Wilson, was that guy, man, to be the face of your organization. Always says the right things. You're never going to hear nothing crazy about him in the news.
Yeah, no, it is. And the point that I make is that and the DAC and other the treatment that fans did this weekend, I don't want to hear anything anymore. I know we're still going to, because it's one of those stereotypes. It's one of those things the media loves to latch on to. But I'm not going to forget this. Mm-hmm. And anytime I ever hear a casual fan say to me, oh, you Philly fans are the worst. Oh, they're going to get an earful. They're going to get an earful, and we're going to go on YouTube, and we're going to look up all these clips. I'm going to make them sit there for an hour and show them just how vile other organizations can be compared to the Eagles. Anyway, before we go, there's one thing I want to play, staying in the realm of the NFC East. And I saw a TikTok today. It's about 3 minutes long, so bear with me. Even the people listening on the podcast, just hearing this is hilarious. And so I saw this today, and I'm like, we got to put this on the podcast. We just got to put this on the podcast because it's too funny not to. And what this is this is a young woman in group therapy who is a Washington Commanders fan, and she is remarking on how the Washington Commanders are 1-0 and have started the season off with a win. And you have to see it to believe it. This is just brilliant. So we're going to roll this real quick.
Courtney.
Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing so good. As Destiny's Child said, so good. Good. Oh, 1-0. Come on, everybody. 1-0. I'm the champion, baby, sitting in a room full of losers. Oh, wow. Okay. I am a winner. Well, I love Carson Wentz. We won against the Jaguars. You see this? Striking fear in the hearts of the NFL.
And they're good. Me, are they good?
Super good. Oh, super good. Big day for me. Big day for the whole DMV.
Tell me why it was so big.
Okay. Well, this is huge. First of all, it was the first home season opener in 2 years that a pipe with sewage water did not burst on anyone in the stadium. So I think we can give a round of applause for that. That's huge for DC. Wow. That is huge. Look, I got chills. I gave myself chills talking about it. The nation's capital. So it was big. First game as the Commanders. First game with my fiery little thing, my fiery little fire crotch, Carson Wentz. You know a redhead. You know a redhead loves to take you on an emotional roller coaster. And that's what he did on Sunday. And I said, strap me in. I'm going, woo! I'm going on the ride of a life. Carson Wentz.
Looks like you're still on it, Courtney.
I'm really high, but it was left over from earlier this morning.
You shouldn't come in.
No,
here.
I'm so freaking excited.
Yeah, excitement is great. Mm-hmm. And you know what's even better? Yes. Using that excitement to push your life in a better direction. You're just living it.
I'm living it. Yeah. I'm owning it. And not just confidence because of my hot little body.
Right.
My tight little bottom. Tiny waist and big boobs.
Right.
And
not
symmetrical
just that.
Face. No, not my not usual. Just that. It's because of my football team.
Well, but the team, yes, but it's also okay, just breathe. Just breathe out.
Sorry.
Because your face was turning purple for a second.
We've got offense. We've got defense. We've got Ryan Kerrigan's. I'm going to slip right off my chair. We've got Ryan Kerrigan's defense. You understand that? My baby's father's father joined the coaching staff. Do you know what that means to me? I mean, this is huge. We're a family organization, okay? The weapons on offense. The rookie.
You got to breathe.
The rookie. Dotson.
Yeah.
Jahan Dotson. 2 touchdowns, baby. 2 of them. Huge day all around.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
It's nice to have plans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be able to like be a little flexible with those plans. So
absolutely.
I wish you the best.
Thank
I wish
you.
Your commanders the best.
Thank you.
Just focus on yourself.
You hear that? That was good.
It is hilarious, man. I absolutely adore that. I saw that today,
I wanted to get it in one take.
It seemed like she ad-libbed a lot, which was just hilarious, man. But that's,
I've never seen such a delusional Commanders fan, if you will.
You know,
that's reserved for the Cowboys.
But you know what? They are fired up. That's the first time I think they've won their season opener in a while. And you know. And since Kirk Cousins is there, probably, I don't know. I have to go back and look, but I know that they've had it rough, and so winning against a Jacksonville team is got to be firing up to them. And you know what? That's our next opponent coming up after the Vikings. So no matter what happens here, these are the upcoming games. We've got the Vikings on Monday night at 8:30, and then after that on September 26th at 1:00 in Washington, the Eagles will take on the Commanders on the road. And we'll do a really full preview of that. I will say I saw the game. I thought Carson Wentz played really well. I hate to admit it. Played much better than he did the whole year in Indy. He did have those 2 turnovers back-to-back, but outside of that, he was fine in Dotson. He was fine in players over the field. He was taking chances and forcing the ball into tight windows and making plays. So we'll see what they do this week. What's going to be interesting to kind of judge the Commanders, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. They got the Lions this week. So we're going to see how they play against the Lions team that we just played and whether that makes a difference. So that's going to be something to keep our eye on if you're on Sunday, if you're not watching the, and I'll, that's probably the game I will watch over to really look at to get an eye on the Commanders until then. So that's what we got coming up, man. It's going to be it's going to be a fun Monday night. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Good stuff. I'm looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to it. Washington Commanders coming into town the week after. No, we go to Washington.
Go to Washington.
We play Carson twice in like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So we get Commanders out the way almost ASAP. I was just looking at the schedule right now.
Yep. It's an interesting schedule. It is. It's definitely got some opportunity if things play out the way we think they are. So next up is Vikings on Monday night. We will watch that on the edge of our seats. Hopefully it is an Eagles victory. We will be back on Saturday to give our fantasy results from week one. I don't even want to talk about it, but we'll get into it on Saturday. And also our picks and predictions to give our results from last week and our picks for this week. So be sure to tune in for that. If you are a subscriber, you will get notified whenever we go live on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live. And also, you want to keep listening to us on your favorite podcast provider, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Castro, Stitcher, Podcaster. There's all kinds out there. We're on everyone. If you want to send us an email to give us a comment or a suggestion or just have your name mentioned on the show, you can email us at lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. So until then, I'm going to turn it over for Tubby.
Great as always. Appreciate y'all listening to the Where Eagles Dare podcast, Lee and Tubby. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds! Beat the Vikings.